Welcome, welcome, welcome back. Truck and Hustle Tuesdays. I hope everybody enjoyed the long weekend, enjoyed your Labor Day and all that good stuff. I've been getting a lot of requests for more information about the dump truck industry. So today we have a special guest, actually three special guests. We have Shanti and Garen Hoffman. They have a dump truck company, Four Trucks, in the Los Angeles area. They are currently killing it. And also we are joined by their partner Tamaris of TMK Consulting. Together they've created a dump truck course called Truck It Right. Teaches you how to get your own dump truck company started. So this interview was packed with plenty of information, plenty of jewels. Y'all gonna really enjoy it. You know, so before we get started, of course, I want to shout the Hustle fam, everybody out there posting, resharing, spreading the word. Love y'all. You know, and it's the show is growing, man. It's crazy. It's really crazy. I'm excited to keep on bringing y'all this content. So, you know, like we say, put your ears on. And if you smell something burning, it's only your desire. What's up, y'all? This is Rommel Watley, and welcome to Truck and Hustle, the podcast for trucking entrepreneurs. If you want to learn about the trucking industry from the business side of things, you're in the right place. Every week, I interview the people who are making it happen on a daily basis. I get them to share their successes, their failures, and sometimes even their secrets. The goal is to show you how you too can create financial freedom in the booming trucking industry. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
It's not to live a lavish lifestyle. It's to actually suffice for our business so we can have longevity. Right. And that's what people don't realize. Like, if we wanted the quick way out, we could take every penny that anybody has to give. But since we ain't like that, since we looking long term, we kind of want what we want because we want this business to last.
Turn my mic up.
For you.
Take there. Yeah. Yeah. On the road to the riches, life takes a toll like bridges. Good friends become foes and snitches. Better watch who knows in your business. All right, so for everybody, we are here today with Shanti and Garen Hoffman, right, of Hoffman Transportation, right? And we also have Tamaris joining us, who is Shanti's business partner in Truck It Right, right? And Truck It Right is a course, a dump truck course, how to start a dump truck business, correct?
Yes.
All right, cool. So we got a lot to talk about, man. I'm going to be all over the place because you guys are like all over the screen. So let me start with you, Garen. You know, tell me a little bit about yourself coming up. Where you from? Just give me a little bit of your backstory.
I am born and raised in West Los Angeles.
Okay.
Worked majority of my life, went to school a little bit. I was always into getting the money.
There you go.
I did everything and everything to make it to where, you know, we're at right now. And
okay.
I've done it all, man. I working for $50 a week.
Okay.
All the way up to making, you know, the big sum numbers.
Right.
So I'm 37. I started, you know, working when I was 5 years old, believe it or not.
Get out of here.
Yeah, so I had that work ethic since a child.
Now, what were you doing at 5 years old, man?
Washing cars, selling newspapers and cans, man.
Now, was this something that you just had that entrepreneurial spirit you got into yourself, or did your parents kind of drive you and push you in that direction? Like, listen, you're going to get out there and work.
Nah, it was easy.
Okay.
I actually showed them that I was going to get out there and work.
Okay.
Everything else was just simple from that. Like, at the end of the day, I was kind of fed with a silver spoon my whole life, but my parents always taught me to you have to work for what you want in life. So, you know, whatever, and from that point on, it was in me, and I took it and I ran with it, and I acquired much more than what I have already, what was given to me, you know.
Got you. Now, were your parents entrepreneurial as well?
No, they had great jobs. My dad was an entrepreneur, but he still worked a 9-to-5 where he was actually a boss for 55 years.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm a longshoreman too, by the way. I work on the ports.
Okay.
Import and export. So yeah, that's what I mean.
Dope.
Yeah, so you know that type. You know, just but I'm telling you, like I bust my butt, man. I bust my ass to get where I'm at, and I'm still busting it. It seems like it ain't gonna ever stop.
Nah, it probably won't ever stop, man. It probably won't ever stop. You said you grew up in West Los Angeles.
West Los Angeles, man.
Tell me about West Los Angeles, man. I have no clue. What's it like coming up in West Los Angeles?
Dope. We the flyest people that walk the earth, man.
I heard that. Now look, go ahead. Because Tamaris is laughing. She must not be from West Los Angeles.
No, I am. That's how I said.
Okay.
You know, West Los Angeles is very diverse, man. It's a super diverse place. It's a neutral place. And it's very fashion-y. Like, it's like a fashion icon of L.A., just like how New York, what you got with Greenwich Village and Soho, that's like Manhattan, that's all like fashion. Like, New York in a whole is fashionable. But West L.A., you know, you got Melrose, you got Fairfax, you got all that stuff. So it's like where all the hype beasts hang, man. So it's different.
So y'all about getting fly out there.
We are, what? With the fly, like I told you, with the fly people that walk the earth, man.
I'm not gonna lie. I check your gram out a little bit, and I saw you got a little fly going on. So I'm I seen a couple of your pictures. So you got that. You got that for sure.
All right, good looking, man.
No doubt. All right. So started working at 5 years old. Growing up in West Los Angeles. What was your first job? First job that you got into.
My first job that I got into was actually selling newspaper. My grandfather would put aside all the newspapers from the weeks, and I'll go like every other Friday and pick them up. And after that, I started messing with the soda cans.
Okay.
And then after that, I started washing cars. And then from that point on, everything else is history.
All right. So washing cars. So after that, what's next? Talk to me.
The washing the cars, and after that, some years later, you know, I wasn't even in high school yet. So
okay,
fast forward, high school, I started like a vending machine company.
Okay, dope.
So I had bought vending machines and I set them up. I went downtown and looked on the city hall. They have a listing where you could put your machines, and you have to get on that list in order to even get to those get those spots.
Okay.
So, I don't know what I did or how I did it. I kind of shorted. Like, I didn't even go by that list. I went straight to the place and talked to the manager.
Right.
And I actually got in. My first vending machines was put in Bank of America, all in UCLA.
Wow.
So I had like five Bank of Americas where my vending machines were set up at. And,
okay.
Then, you know, from there on, I started opening up, like, LLCs and just trying to play with it. I really didn't know too much about it. But I just started playing with it, and after a while, I mean, it was a no-brainer to open up our company, what we have right now, and you know, just trying to take off right now with that.
Got you. So you go from the vending machines that explodes, and then you kind of move into the trucking thing. So where did that come from? How did we go from there to trucking? Go ahead. I'm listening.
What happened was. I have one foot in and one foot out in this industry. I was raised around, I had buddies, family members, and mind you, I'm in the industrial world already as a longshoreman. I started that when I was 22.
Okay, so you started that really young.
Yeah, I started longshoring at 22, and I've been out there for 15 years. I'm 37 right now. So
gotcha.
What happened was I started seeing how the transportation world was. I have a brother-in-law that's in the trucking game heavy. I have some cutting of partners of mine that's in the trucking game heavy, and they start, and I was looking at them, they was doing damn good. And I'm like, yo, like what, you know, what's going on? So I actually went out and I got a job, believe it or not. I had a great job already, but I went and got a job just so I could learn the ropes as far as the business aspect of it. So I worked at Los Angeles Times, man, driving their trucks.
Okay.
And I did that for like 2 years. It sucked. Because I wanted to pay $500 every 2 weeks, but
right.
I took a sacrifice. I knew I could go back to my other job at any given time and make the real money, but
right.
I was like, you know what, let me sacrifice a couple years of my life to learn this game, because eventually I know this is something that I want to do. So from that point on, I quit the job, and I was talking to my wife, and we was like, you know what, let's just go all balls in and make this, you know, take the knowledge that you got, you know, and you could show me a little, she said, you can show me a couple of things. And I, you know, once you show me, I'm just going to take off. And, right. and pretty much that's what happened. So I had a huge support team behind me that was kind of leading me to do the trucking, get in the trucking industry. So I jumped head in. Me and my wife, we jumped head in. Didn't really know too much about
our
nothing.
Last.
We, you know, we saved up and we put our last in. And then, you know, from there on, we took off. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we had a we lost hundreds of thousands of dollars in the beginning because we were getting screwed around, you know, by people that knew that we didn't know what we was doing really. So they kind of took advantage of us. But like I said, from that point, we jotted down everything from where we were from our mistakes. We jotted down everything.
Okay.
And I knew later on down the line, my wife would want to kind of transform our faults and our mishaps into somebody else's reality, like gotcha. making it happen so they ain't got to go through what we had to go through.
So when you first got into the trucking industry, what were you doing exactly? Like when you bought your first truck, what commodity were you guys moving? What part of the industry were you in?
Man, let me tell you about that. So our first truck we bought, it's the industry, it's called hotshotting.
Hotshotting. Yeah, That's hot right now. A lot of people want to know about hotshotting.
It's super hot for owner operators. If you're going to drive, you're going to lose big time. So what happened was we went out and we took our last. We had like 100,000 saved up. And so we went out and we bought a Dodge, brand new 2016 Dodge. I ordered it on the computer. It took a month for them to build it. So we got that. And then I had called a partner of mine at the time. That was blowing. He was really blowing the hotshot game up. Talking about he made $285,000 a year, which he did. Mm. But I didn't really read the signals why he was trying to sell his equipment so bad. So he's like, "Hey, you could buy my trailer, man. You could buy it." I'm like, and he had a top of the line. He had like a $20,000 trailer.
Okay.
And he was selling it to me for like $10,000-$12,000. So I was like, "Hey, I'll buy it." So I went and paid cash for that. And then after that, I got into it. I jumped head in, and we made the money. We actually made the money.
Okay.
But the downfall to that is that I don't like being over the road. Like, I'm not no over the road person. Mind you, I still have a regular job that I got to tend to.
Okay.
So I took some time off from my regular job and jumped in my truck. And after a while, I'm like, you know what? I broke the numbers down. And that's when I realized, like, this industry is only good for owner operators. Mm. This industry is not good for a driver. Like, you wouldn't make anything. Like, as an owner, we wouldn't have made anything. All our money would have went to the driver.
Okay.
So, mind you, we were paying like $2,000 a month just on insurance.
Okay.
Liability.
Just on insurance alone was $2,000. So, that kind of goes, like, a lot of people ask us why we pay cash for all our stuff. Well, it kind of goes back to we didn't really know about, we knew about business credit and financing through our, getting loans from the business. So, but we didn't do it because I didn't want to be stuck with no high-ass bills every month.
Right.
Because if I don't get no lows, what if I don't get lows this week?
Right.
Then I'm still going to owe this huge lump sum of money to these people that I finance from. And then it's going to make our business even worse. Like if I start, you know, being delinquent, because it was like those bills is heavy when they come in.
Gotcha. You
know, they come in every day, not every month. They come in every day. Bills come in. So it was like, you know what? Let me kind of regroup everything. Let me start selling some of this stuff. And let me jump into the dump truck business, that was something that we should have done from the beginning. But we were going between hotshotting and dump trucking over the road. So long story short, I put that to the side. I turned my truck into a toy hauler. I was pulling toys and stuff around with that.
Okay.
So I used it for personal after a while. So
right.
Yeah. So after that, we jumped in. We went out and got a deal on our first truck was a 389 Pete. It was the Rolls Royce of the truck.
All right. So stay right there real quick, because I don't want to get too far into that story just yet. I want to go back to the hotshotting real fast, because you were talking about that. And I think a lot of people want to know about that hotshot game.
Yeah.
So how does it work? Because I'm not very familiar with it. Tell me about the day-to-day operations when you're in the hotshot game. How do you get your loads? Like, what's the day-to-day? You told me you're over the road a lot. Kind of give me a breakdown of how things work. And then, like, from the financial end, how do you get paid?
Well, this is how it goes. You have to download these apps online, which is the low boards, right? And on the low boards, my wife, she was behind the screen all day, every day.
5 a.m. every day.
4 or 5 a.m. Looking, start booking loads, right?
Okay.
So we have to pick and choose what loads make sense, right? Okay. So it's all about math and geography at this point. So basically, we would book a load. Let's say we wanted to go to San Diego, right?
Okay.
So we would book a load to San Diego that paid, let's say, $600. Okay. Right? So now our job is to find a load coming back from San Diego to somewhere close to home, at least.
Okay.
So to cover the fuel now. Okay. So that's how it pretty much goes. Like, you book a load to make the money for your pocket and your bills, and then you need to find a load coming back that'll pretty much pay for the fuel. So you'll kind of, so you won't break even, so you could make something. You know what I mean?
Make some kind of profit.
How we was doing it, I was so eager to get home. I was deadhead, and I wasn't booking no. I was coming home empty, bro.
You was like, forget the backhoe. We taking it back.
Man, I was stuck. I said, you know what? I am straight. I'm going home. I'm
right.
Yeah.
You could probably end up being out there, you know, like waiting a day or so, or some couple days.
Man, I'll be over there. Where are you located?
I'm in Jersey. I'm in Jersey. I'll
be right off of River Road somewhere, bro. I'll be trying to look for, man, I'm trying to tell you, if I was really like, I'm not a trucker.
Right.
I just drive trucks. I don't know if that makes sense to you.
It makes a whole lot of sense to me. The trucker thing is not really your passion per se. You're looking for profit. You're looking for it to make sense for you. You know what,
man,
I mean?
I'm not going to lie. I like putting them together. I like the aesthetics of them.
Okay.
I love getting behind the wheel, but I'm not really going to Florida or nothing like that driving.
Got you. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I got you. So ultimately, it was a very tough business to make profitable. So you said, when you said that a driver can make money, owner-operator can make money, what's the difference? What's the distinguishing difference that'll make a driver make money but not an actual owner make money?
Well, the thing is that all the profit goes to me and my wife, to the company.
Okay.
Now, if I put a driver in there, now we have to cut a fraction of that money and give it to the driver, which will probably be less than the negative.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's what I mean by that. So I highly recommend, if this is something that an individual wants to do to provide for their family, I'm all with it. I still like hot shot.
Okay.
But it's just not profitable for me because, like I said, I have a whole another lifestyle. My wife has a whole nother lifestyle.
Right.
And it doesn't really make sense for us.
Gotcha.
It don't work for us. It was gonna work. It could work for somebody else. Just not for us.
It worked for our buddy because he didn't have responsibilities. He was like a single dude. Just all he cared about was going. He slept in his truck. So if he had one load, let's say San Diego, and then he was going to New Jersey, he'll book 20 loads on the way there. He didn't care about coming home. So that's why it was able to work for him.
Got you.
He lived on the road.
Right. So it all depends on your lifestyle. You know, you got to
kind of preference, lifestyle,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Lifestyle.
Like, this dump truck industry ain't for everybody. Like, so, you know, everything over the road ain't for everybody, but it's for somebody out there, just not for us.
Got you. Okay, cool. So Shanti, are you available to talk?
Yeah, I'm good. What's
all
up?
Right, cool. So let's get into your story. Let's stop there, and then let's get into your story. Where did you grow up? Tell me a little bit about yourself.
So I am from Miami, Florida.
Okay.
And I went to school in Tallahassee, went to college. My mom is from Philippines. My dad's from India.
Okay.
So yeah, very diverse. And they were in the medical field. So when I told them about the trucking, you know, what I wanted to do, what me and hubby wanted to do, we were like telling them our plans. They were kind of, you know, are you sure? You know, they're very like, engineer, doctor, nurse, you know,
right.
Like there's a lot, some people are scared, you know, when you hear something that seems out of the norm. It's like, oh my God, a trucking industry. You get what I'm saying?
Right. For sure.
If you talk about it, let's say if I said, hey, to a random person, you should start a trucking company. They're kind of like a little nervous. So that's how, yeah, those are my parents in a nutshell.
Okay. So you said you grew up in Miami?
Yes.
So tell me about growing up in Miami. How was that?
Oh, it was fun. I mean, before I got married, I was like the queen of Miami. Then I came to LA, I was a little bit popping. And then I got married, had a kid, and, you know, whole life changed, but I love it.
Don't let me stop you from being popping.
I'm popping on another level. Listen, now.
I don't want to start any problems here. You know, I don't want to start any problems. So how did you guys meet?
Through his sister.
His sister lived in Miami?
No.
Nah, my sister's in the entertainment world as well.
Okay.
Yeah. So they knew each other from going out and parties and doing shoots and stuff like that.
Okay. So what were you doing before in Miami? You said the party and all that, but you know, all young people do that. What was your career path before you started thinking about trucking?
So actually, after college in Tallahassee, I moved back to Miami, and honestly, I was being out partying and always hanging, like all my friends were beautiful, you know, beautiful people down there. I started becoming like real close with a lot of the athletes and entertainers, like real, like good friends.
Okay.
So I would see, like, you know what, she's smart. She's real business minded. We're going to start hitting her up, you know, kind of like on an assistant level. If we're going to go, you know, book a flight to Bora Bora and need, you know, want some beautiful women, want a yacht. Like
concierge type of thing.
Exactly. So okay. That's exactly what I did. This was before obviously Expedia and Travelocity and people were using, you know, their credit cards. I was basically a travel agent to go to. So okay. I had a concierge for about 10 years. So it was called Saha Concierge. Saha is my maiden last name.
Okay.
So I was honestly for a good 10 years, the go-to for throwing events, for throwing parties, which are events, brokering jets, yachts, exotic cars. I've partnered with huge companies and I made enough money in a year. The first year I started doing it. Well, actually I was doing it as favors. Like, you know, like, hey sis.
Right.
I was like, all right, cool. I mean, if I get to go on a trip, why not? I didn't look it. I was young. I was like 22. I was like, all right. Then a year went by and I was like, I'm not doing this shit free no more. I'm gonna turn this into a business. Right. Like,
right.
And after a year, I made enough money and I came out to LA.
Okay.
And I continued it out here and I was, you know, working and I was just that person. Everyone, all the entertainers, athletes, regular, anybody would just contact me. Hey, I want to throw an event. So it was easy for me to, you know, contact Hennessy, Ciroc. I was just the go-to for everything.
Got you.
I did.
Okay. So then you get out to LA and then you kind of change gears and you guys get into the trucking world, you and your husband. Okay. So Tamaris. Where you at down there, Tamaris?
Hey! I see.
what's going on? So Tamaris is Shanti's partner. Yep. Together they have a company called Truck It Right, right?
Yep.
And Truck It Right is a dump truck course, as I said earlier. It teaches you how to become a dump truck business owner, which is currently the business that you guys run, Hoffman Transport, correct? So how did this whole idea come about? You know, the course. What's your background, Tamaris? Tell me a little bit about yourself.
So I am a Cali gal, and I grew up somewhat everywhere in California, West LA, South Central, Culver City, just all over. So my background is more executive administrative, where I dealt with the paperwork, all the fun stuff, filing documents, researching, the whole nine yards. So I'm self-taught. I'm the type of person that you can't tell me no, because I'm going to go find a yes. So that's how I learned about this industry. I learned about our friendship began when they wanted to certify their business, and I'll touch on that a little bit more.
Yeah.
So I taught myself about government and federal contracting. So that's how our friendship begins, because they wanted to certify their business so that they can become a DBE and SBE,
okay,
which is disadvantaged business enterprise and small business enterprise.
Okay.
So those are certifications that you would need if you're going after state, federal, even some private sector contracts. So, like I said, I taught myself, I researched, I found out, I saw that it was so much money out there, especially for women and minorities.
And
that's where our passion grew. Like, okay, we're seeing these opportunities and we're going to these city events and these city conferences, and they're talking about millions, billions of dollars, and, you know, there's not enough qualified individuals to take on these contracts. So Shanti and I were like, well, we know people that can do the work, you know?
Yeah.
So the thing was like, how do we combine the two? And so their expertise in the trucking industry and my administrative, it was the perfect marriage. So that's where we came up with the idea, Truck It Right. And we came up with the name Truck It Right because we're like, a lot of people in the trucking industry, they're doing it, but they're not doing it right.
Doing it
wrong.
They're
missing
right.
some, yeah, right.
Trucking so it wrong. Missing, there you go.
Right. Right. So mm-hmm. they're missing some very key components to having a successful business. And that's where my knowledge base came into play for us to educate. Of course, our course is for anyone that's interested in getting in the business. But we're specifically targeting minorities and minority women because we're underrepresented in this industry.
Mm.
So, and there's specific set-asides. That's some of the stuff that we talk about in our training. There's specific amounts of money that these big construction companies, federal contractors, that they have 25% of whatever that particular project has to be set aside for individuals with a DBE or SBE. So yes. That means there's a specific amount, 25% of a $1 billion contract that they can't even touch. They have to go hire these individuals with these certifications.
Wow.
So wow. That's some of the stuff that we teach in our course, that, hey, there's money out there to be made, you know, how to manage your money, how to set up your business correctly, not as a DBA, throw that out there.
Right.
DBA, sure you're not protecting yourself.
Correct. Absolutely. I got you.
Yeah.
I got you. Okay. Okay. You know, it's funny. I have noticed that there is a surge in women in the trucking business, specifically minority women. And I think, you know, people are beginning to, you know, see that there are these set-asides and there are these opportunities out there, but not enough people. There's still like a whole lot of opportunity out there. You know, and listening to you guys, it's like you guys definitely have the perfect marriage, you know, because like you said, you have the background in certification and setting up with, you know, the things that you do as far as the contracts, government contracting and so forth and so on. Garen had all the knowledge and Shanti just had all the connections, and she's just the go-to. She's out there, you know, talking and moving and shaking and so forth.
Absolutely.
So it's perfect the way you guys have everything set up. So let's get into it. How do you start a dump truck company? I mean, give us a little bit of a sneak peek, because I know people right now, they're listening. They're like, yeah, it sounds easy, but, you know, it sounds good. But what do we really do? What's the first steps? I mean, of course, we can't give it all away. The game is to be sold, not told.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
First steps is going to truckitright.com and applying.
There you go. The game is to be sold, not told.
That's the first step. And the second step comes with the payment. It goes along with the payment.
I agree 100%. I agree 100%. But tell us a little something. Give us a little bit of a starting point. If we're interested in this business, which I know there's plenty of people interested in dump truck business, it's very popular right now. It's very trendy. I get DMs all the time, people asking me about dump truck stuff, and I don't know. I'm not in the dump truck business. I have no idea. So I direct them to the people that I do know who are in the business. You know, and now I'm going to start directing them to you guys as well. But where do we start? Do we start with finding the right truck? Do we start with looking at some contracts, finding where do we start?
You start with your bank account. First of all, you have to have some type of overhead. This is the biggest thing in the industry. And people think that they could just jump into this and not have a pillow. And what I mean by a pillow is an extra amount of currency in their account that could take care of their business for at least the first 3 months.
Okay.
You know, you have to have that, no doubt about that, you know. And then after that, I mean, it's all the legality situation. That's where Tamaris and my wife falls into place, you know. You need to start depending on how you want to do it, LLC or a corporation, S-Corp, however you want to do it, depending on how many trucks or how big you want your company to be and how you want to write your taxes off and all that. You know, and then it breaks down into the, you know, getting your fictitious name and all that other good stuff. What else?
Authority,
insurance, you know, and so forth and so forth. We have, like I said, we have it all down, truckerright.com. You can find all that good stuff list by list, play by play, if you just tune into it.
Got you.
Go ahead and look it up.
Got you. So give me an idea of the financials in the dump truck business. I mean, what can one stand to, you know, what can you make in a dump truck business? I mean, after your overhead, because this is the stuff that people want to know. People, you know, people hear like, yeah, we can make money, so forth and so on. But what we want the real information.
Off of one truck, realistically, off of one truck, you could bring, like, after all the bills are paid, your drivers are paid. If you're a driver on a, I mean, I'm saying on a whatever day, on a regular day, you bring it home no more than $7,000 to $10,000 monthly.
Okay. Okay.
That's after your bills are all paid. That's after everything is paid.
That's a 90 an hour rate in California.
Got you. And how are the days? What are the work days like when you're on the truck?
Monday to Saturday. Sundays you off. I mean, night, you have night work, you have day work. Everything is optional.
Okay.
Depending on how hard they want to move that dirt, you know, from location to location. It all depends. Really, like I say, some jobs you might pull up and you might just get a 4-hour minimum just for showing up. They might not even have nothing for you. So you probably just get paid for four hours that day. You know, some days you got to get paid for 12, 15 hours.
Got you.
So, I mean, it really just depends on the contractor that you're dealing with at that time. If a machine, if one of their machines break down, guess what? They have to shut it down right then and there. So you get paid all the way up to that point. It's really different. Like, it's not really nothing set. You're not getting, it's not a set amount of money that you're going to get. It's you might get
night work too. So if you have night work, because he's talking on like an 8-hour shift, right?
Okay.
If you're working that same truck at night, which there is a lot of night work now, double that.
It's like a night differential, basically. Yeah.
And we might not get night work every night. You know, we might get it like 4 days out of the week. But, you know, so the rate changes. One month, it could be a slow month where you're making 7,000. It could be a good month, like he said. It could be 10,000, or it could be a crazy month where it's just so much work where you can make 20,000 off one. So it's different. It's not a set schedule.
Got you. Now, where are you guys getting work from? Are you using different contractors, or is it one, or how do you go about that process? I mean, I don't need to know the exact people, but like, how does that process work as far as getting the work?
It varies. And honestly, it varies, you know. I think what helps with our team and what's helping them grow is we don't limit ourselves.
Okay.
We have, we use all type of resources. We use city, federal, brokers, you know. Shanti and I, we're very good investigators, you know. That's why, you know, our workshop that we have coming up, she's one of the special guest speakers that's going to be teaching how to follow the lead. So that means, hey, you hear about a job is over in West Covina, you know, because you get some of those people in the game, but they'll tell you where it's at, but that's it. They're not going to tell you the broker they're using, and not going to tell you how they got them. So, you know, that's one good thing I could definitely say Shanti is excellent at doing. She follows the lead. She'll research and find it herself, and before you know it, she's on the gig, you know. So it just varies. We use multiple opportunities, and we're not just stuck to one state. You know what I'm saying? They can go their authority reaches where they can go statewide, countrywide, you know? So that's some of the things you have to think out of the box about in regards to, you know, being successful in this industry. You have to think out of the box. Don't limit yourself.
Got you. So how many trucks do you guys have currently right now?
Four.
You guys have four trucks. So you have four employees, four drivers operating those four trucks?
Correct.
Okay, so talk to me about that. Talk to me about being a boss, man. How is it? Because you guys are a young couple. You know, you all are young people. How is it dealing with drivers?
First of all, like I tell my drivers, I'm not your boss.
Okay.
Y'all don't work for me. We work together. Like, we a team at the end.
I like that.
At some point, like, you know, I get in trucks myself in rock and roll. But for the most part, dealing with drivers is a headache. Because I see why the women in the DMV be pissed off. They be dealing with different personalities all day.
Right.
I mean, and that's pretty much how it is. I mean, you do get great people that, you know, operate your vehicles and you take care of them. But for the most part, you have people that just want that paycheck every Friday. Mm. And they had that, and they had that, it ain't mine mentality. So, you know, as long as I'm getting paid, it don't matter how, you know, I got trucks in the shop right now as we speak.
Right. Right.
You know, I got trucks in the shop right now as we speak, bro. And I'm telling you, it's whooping me left and right.
Right.
But, you know, that comes, you got to take the good with the bad. It come with the territory. Gotcha. You know, so at the end of the day, I don't talk bad about nobody. It's just a part of the game. And that's what I signed up for. And that's what I'm going to execute.
Got you.
I do want to admit that in the dump truck industry, it is much easier to find drivers in our experience than over the road because they are home by dinner. Mm. So if they leave, let's say if the job is at 6 or 7 a.m., they'll be home before 4 o'clock. And then let's say you have night work. That night work starts at 11. So you kind of have the option, hey, driver, do you want to do this 11 p.m. to, you know, 5 a.m. or do you want to do the daytime? Mm. So they're home every day and it makes them happy. They get to be home and have dinner with their family.
So do they pretty much have like a set schedule for the most part, or it's got to varies week to week?
It varies, but for the most part, it's a set schedule. Like, we have a contract right now, 7-year contract that we on right now. And
7-year contract?
Yeah.
405 highway.
Yeah. So what happens?
Oh, that's dope. That's dope. Congratulations, man. That's big.
Thank you.
That's big.
All I do is literally send my dispatch every day, and he knows what to do after that. Like, I'll just send him what the broker sends me, you know, what time and where to be at. And I just text that to my drivers and they there. I don't need to hear from them again unless something break down.
Got you.
So, you know, that's how it pretty much goes.
Got you. How's your retention? Do you keep the same drivers for a while, or do you kind of go through, do you find that you go through a lot of drivers? How's that?
I try to keep my drivers as long as I can, because like I said, at the end of the day, when I hire you, I look at you like a family member, because you have an interest and I see that you hustling and busting your butt, and it makes me want to take care of what needs to be taken care of. And, you know, sometimes it's not reciprocated the same on my behalf, you know, because I'm just looked at as a person with all this money and I could afford to deal with a breakdown and so forth and so forth. But for the most part, you know, I just got to keep my composure and just deal with them accordingly, really and truly.
Right. Right, right, right. And your guys are all Class B, correct? Class B drivers?
Class A. Class A.
Oh, you
A.
got Class Cla- Okay.
Both, Class A or Class B.
Class A, Class B. Okay, yeah. Okay, cool. So you, Tamaris, you were talking about the workshops a little bit earlier for Truck It Right. You guys are doing workshops now for the business?
Yeah. Yeah, we're actually doing, we were bombarded with requests to do either workshops or do we do one-on-one training. And we were like, you know what, let's just create an environment for a one-stop shop. So the workshop is going to be October the 12th, which is a Saturday. It's going to be from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Okay.
And it's going to be at the Four Points Sheraton in Culver City, Los Angeles.
Okay.
This is going to be an event where we have Shanti is going to be speaking. Garen is going to be speaking. I'll be speaking. We have a marketing expert, Mr. Duff, that's going to come in. That's a real key component that some of these transportation individuals, owner operators are missing, because when you have contractors looking for individuals to get on a project with, they want to see your work. They want to see what your truck looked like. They want to see what your previous experience was. They want to see your scalability, meaning can you manage a certain dollar amount? So having a marketing package and one that's professional is very, very important. And Mr. Duff is going to be talking about that.
Okay.
We also have a special guest speaker, Mr. Dion Rambo, who has won a $1 million contract with LAX, and he's going to talk about how to win contracts and the importance of, you know, being professional and so on and so forth. So we have a lot of good nuggets that we're going to be sharing in this workshop. We're also going to feed our people. Come through.
Okay. You're going I might to come food. Myself. You,
which, right?
Which I got something on the grill. What's going on over there?
No. We're having it catered. So, you know, we're all about making sure that you get what you pay for. You know, we're very professional. We believe in making it. We want you to be comfortable, because we legit want to see more of our people out here getting this money.
That's a fact. Where can people find information about that? I know you just now basically told us about it, October 12th, but where is there a link or something to purchase tickets, or how does that work?
Absolutely. You can visit our website at truckitright.com. Okay. Or you can find us on the Eventbrite.
Okay.
We have a link on our Instagram and our Facebook page as well if you want to purchase your tickets. We do have payment plan options. We do understand it is a bit pricey, but believe me, what you're going to experience at this event is going to be worth every penny. If you can go out there and stand in the line for what's the big craze right now? This stinking pot pie chicken salad.
Oh, we were in line.
Oh my gosh, man.
I was in line yesterday and got shut down.
Let me tell you, I'm so frustrated with our people. This is just my sidebar. I'm so frustrated. Do you know Popeyes had free advertising and they grossed $23.25 million in 4 days?
Wow.
Free advertising, black people jumping on talking about how good this sandwich is. And we scrounge and we complain and we want a nickel and can I get a discount on something that can make you that same $23-24 million? So
right.
Invest in yourself, people.
You know, back to the Popeyes thing real quick, man. I'm just asking you guys, right? So do you really think that this whole thing was just an arbitrary, it just happened, like this craze? Or do you think there was some serious marketing put into this? Because I don't even know where it came from all of a sudden. Like where did it start? Where did this whole Popeyes thing originate? They got lines up. They're selling out everywhere. And I was talking to my wife and I'm saying, listen, I think they want to sell out, right? Going back to Garen, like you, the whole hype beast thing, right? They're using that same strategy, right?
Same energy, yep.
Yeezy.
They're the new Yeezys. They want to sell out. They want people waiting online. They want to turn people back because they're going to keep on coming every day. And you know what? People are still buying other food. Right,
that chicken ain't never left out of Popeyes. They just shut down. They just sold so many and kicked the rest, man.
That's a fact.
Yeah,
they had about 500 more chicken patties in there.
That's a fact.
You're so right.
You're still gonna buy a wing or some soda or something while you're there, right? You're not gonna go to Popeyes and just turn around empty-handed. So I think it's strategic genius. I mean, they marketed as this viral thing, like, oh, it just went viral and so forth and so on. But man, that's the thing. A lot of times our people don't understand that, you know, there's things happening behind the scenes that kind of make things go. You know what I mean? It's not as simple as just, oh, this just happened. Nothing just happens. You know what I'm saying? Right. Especially to make, what'd you say? What was that number?
It might as well round it up, $24 million in 4 days.
Yeah, $24 million don't happen by mistake.
Yeah.
$24 million don't have
and free advertising. Let's go back to that. Social that was media. Free advertising because you had billions of us minorities on their personal pages talking about how. So that $24 million is pocketed. They don't have to give it. They don't have to get no percentage to no marketing team. Nothing. We gave that to them.
Hashtag chicken Popeye's chicken sandwiches.
Right.
Yo, that's it, man. That's it. I mean, listen, I take my hat off to them, man. They're doing their thing. They're getting hip. Like, you know, people are getting hip. These big, large companies are adapting to social media. And they're like, look, we don't have to spend all these marketing dollars on TV and all this. All we got to do is create some kind of social media craze. You know, say it's Popeyes versus Chick-fil-A and whatever. And people are eating up.
That's how, you know, that's how everything gets popped off is by a beef.
Right. You know? Controversy.
Everybody likes to see some drama. That's why you have reality TV shows and no more Cosby shows no more.
Listen, it's a fact. I've been even thinking to myself, how can I start some beef between two truck drivers to get this show popping? You know what I'm saying? Like, I need to start a dump truck beef or something like that.
Dump truck versus OTR.
Because everybody start paying attention then, right? When we have each other's throats killing each other, then they'd be like, oh, then we gotta go and truck and hustle. Garen just said this to such and such. We gotta go.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's crazy. That's crazy. Okay, Shanti, you still got you about to
yeah,
say something?
Yeah, I want to add a couple things. You know, I'm sorry because I was getting my hair done, all that.
It's cool.
How can I forget? I also do real estate. I also sell, rent, buy,
Airbnb.
Invest, Airbnb, whatever you guys need. We also do real estate as well.
Dope.
That's what I'm doing. Yeah, so we kind of combine the two, like we're people for that are building new homes. We have the dump trucks too. So we're about to build our own pool. He's going to dig the dirt and put it in the dump truck.
Oh, man, look at that. Y'all got the cheat code, man. You could dig the dirt for your own pool.
Yeah.
And then the thing is you guys can pay the company. You know what I mean? From your personal pocket, pay the company to build your pool.
Exactly. Right.
Man.
Recycle.
That's genius. So while we're talking about branding, I see you guys have a big social media presence. How important is obviously we know branding is important to you. Talk to me a little bit about that. Like, what do you guys think about when you think about branding your company and what's the long-term play for you in your branding?
Anybody want to go? Because I could talk for days. Anybody want to talk though?
Talk for days. We got time.
Well, branding, absolutely. Like I stated earlier, when individuals, especially when you're new to this game, is very, very important to invest in a marketing team. It's okay to try and do it yourself, but a professional, and that's one key component that a lot of our minority brothers and sisters miss when they're starting their business is investing with a purpose. Not investing because of hearsay, but investing with a purpose, meaning what is your end goal, and investing those steps is going to take you to get there. Again, that's why we started Trucking Right, because we have those steps. So a marketing person that is professional will know how to target your market, will know how to position your business where it again in front of the people that's going to pay. Not just people's gonna look. We don't need you looking. We need somebody that's gonna actually click the button and purchase.
Right.
Yeah. So it's very important to in the beginning make sure that you have not only a social media presence, but your website needs to be current. Make sure your telephone is current. Make sure you have a functioning email that's current. Those are very key components that you need to have when you're going after these contracts. Because again, if I'm a billionaire and I'm looking to do business with you, I want to make sure you're going to represent me correctly when you're out there on my yard. You know what I'm saying? Your people going to show up in Timberlands and ripped jeans, you know, with gold teeth in their mouth? Well, then that's not representing my brand. You know what I'm saying? No disrespect to anybody, but there's a level of professionalism you have to have if you're looking for a certain dollar amount in the beginning. Now, once you yourself become a millionaire, you can, hey, do you. But in the beginning, there's a certain way you have to present yourself. One thing I commend the Hoffmans on, they have zero tolerance for that. They'll put you off their project ASAP. They'd rather miss money on that job for the day than to have somebody out there that is not representing the Hoffman Transportation brand. There's a certain etiquette you have to have when you're out there. Just because you're a trucking person doesn't mean you have to act like a trucking person.
Got you. You want to add to that, Garen? You sit with the branding piece?
Yeah, man. You know, I get asked a lot of questions on why we charge and why we do this, why we do that. And the way how I look at it is I look at LeVar Ball. You got the big baller brand, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just the same mentality that he had with Gucci, how our people could go out and buy Gucci, Louis, and Chanel and all this stuff, right? But when he comes out as, you know, and it isn't even about being your ethnicity. This is about just being the person that you are.
Right.
When he comes out with something and puts a nice label on it, everybody's shaming him and everybody's looking at him like he's crazy. But in actuality, if you know what your brand is worth and you know what your brand could do, then that's what something that we kind of stand strong with. So that's my answer to the questions that a lot of people have. Why do we charge? Well, because this is a brand. And we're branding something for that you could leave as a legacy to your kids, your grandkids, and so forth and so forth. We give them the blueprint. This is a straight blueprint. And if you can't invest the small amount that we're asking for to gain a big capital, you tripping. Then this ain't for you. That's all. Right. This just isn't for you.
Right. Why do you think we have that mindset? Let's get a little bit deeper into that, man.
Because everybody wants their hand out like – Black people, not even black people, let's just say minorities, because I see a lot of ethnicities that do the same thing that we doing, but we just get shamed the most because we quote unquote got that reputation. But I'm here to debunk all of that. So basically what happens is that since we are eye to eye and we're touchable in a sense, not us, but just in general,
yeah,
we have that sense that, well, shoot, since we shop at the same place, that means, well, you could give me a discount. Like, you ain't got to, you know, everybody's looking for the cheap way out, but I find it hard to believe in that when that same person could go to Rodeo Drive and give them every penny and be broke the next week for a bag.
Right.
So, you know, that's, you know, it's more so of people, quote unquote, saying that we're on the same level.
Mm.
I guess, you know, since you, quote unquote, think we're on the same level because of the car you drive or the clothes that you wear, or even if we live in the same neighborhood, that means that my stuff really ain't worth that much because I can see you, because we are living in the same community. And that's not the truth. The truth is that the stuff that we sell, it's not to live a lavish lifestyle. It's to actually suffice for our business so we can have longevity. Right. And that's what people don't realize. Like, if we wanted the quick way out, we could just take, we could take every penny that anybody has to give. But since we ain't like that, since we looking long term, we kind of want what we want, because we want this business to last.
Right.
We're not doing no Milli Vanilli, bro. We ain't no one hit wonder company.
Right.
I want my kids to keep on doing this until they say that, hey, we got enough.
Mm.
You know, and that's just what this is about. This isn't about hooking you up. Well, we are hooking you up with the game. Like, I don't know if you guys heard that virtue as far as I could show you how to fish instead of just giving you fish, whatever, how that goes. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Well, that's what we're here. I'm going to show you how to fish. I'm not going to just keep on giving you all the fish in my bucket. I'm going to show you how to catch this fish. Mm. And if you're willing to learn and sit down and get your hands dirty touching worms, you're going to catch the biggest sea bass that you could catch.
Right. For sure. Go ahead. Samara, you're going to say something?
Yeah, I wanted to add to that. You're so on point, but it's statistically stated and found to be true that when you don't place a value on your profession and or your product, that individuals don't respect it.
Mm.
Unfortunately, in our community, we've been taught that, look, like you said, Louis, Gucci, Chanel, there's respect that comes along with that. Mm. There's a level of acceptance that comes with that. Only the top of the top can afford this. So that's why I don't gripe and complain when I go drop $4,000 on a purse, because this is showing to those around me I got it. So that's the same mentality that we have with our companies, is that, you know, no disrespect to anyone, but if you have to gripe and complain and you got to ask for, you know, a discount for $400, then maybe this isn't the industry you need to be in, because you need to have a reserve to even really make money. You need at least 3 to 6 months of reserve in this industry to take care of your overhead before you get paid. That's just the hard, ugly truth.
Right.
And if you have to if you're complaining about a $400 investment or a $2,000 investment, where it's going to teach you how to make $20,000 a month, then you're not ready to be an entrepreneur.
There you go.
Being an entrepreneur means you take a risk. You're taking a risk. You're taking a chance. It may or may not work.
Right.
But you'll never know if you don't jump out there and find out. So, you know, we put a price on it, and it's not even a lot. It's really not a lot, because Garen will tell you the thousands of dollars that they lost out on, you know, trusting people to do X, Y, Z when they only to find out it only cost $100.
Right.
You know, $200 here or $300. We're giving you the whole game in one package where you can take it, follow it, implement it, and make the same amount of money in a shorter period of time that it took for the Hoffmans to make their money. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, invest with a purpose.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the responsibility is on not only the consumer, but it's on the person who has the product as well. Because I think a lot of times what happens is, and let's talk black people, minorities again, because that's what we are. That's our experience. Right. I think a lot of times we're not giving a product that may be up to par. So we may open up a restaurant, you know, somewhere in our community. And when somebody comes in, you know, fish is on the menu, but you want fish, oh, we're out of fish today. You know what right. I mean? We don't have fish today. Okay, well, let me get the barbecue chicken. We're out of barbecue sauce. You know what I mean? And like, yeah. And this is it's a give and take. So it's like we have to step our game up as entrepreneurs and business owners and making sure that our brands are valuable, you know, for exactly. people to actually, you know, take interest in investing in them.
And I want to add to that, and you're 110% right, because what happens is once we got this entitlement of being an owner, we kind of slack off and want to put somebody else in that position and rely on them to take care of the business. And those are the people that's telling you, we don't have this, we don't have that, because they don't care.
Right.
Yep. Well, paycheck is going to be there, and that's the fault on the owner. Like, I've done it. I think everybody has done it in the beginning. And yeah. I caught on very quick to know that, you know what, I'm straight. I need to be on top of every single thing that this business has to offer. Because if I don't, nobody cares like I'm going to care. Nobody's going to care like my wife or Tamaris. Nobody's going right. to care.
For sure.
Nobody cares.
For sure.
So at the end of the day, I know that I'm going to be in control of my destiny if I put my hands on it and if I have my eyes on it. I'm not Absolutely. About to sit there and just put any or everybody in charge. Like, when I'm gone, I have family members that's actually going to help me out. But for the most part, my phone is going to be on. I don't care what the bill is going to be at the end of the month.
Right.
But at the end of the day, we're still in charge. And if you don't take charge and pride in your brand, not just your business, but your brand, you're going to fall. You're going to fall. There's no other way but down.
Yeah. Now, that's a Absolutely. Fact, because and like when Tamaris was saying earlier, like how you guys don't tolerate, you know, certain things, dress code and your employees looking a certain way. Like, that's what I'm speaking to. You guys are making sure that those things are correct. And these are the things that we have to pay more attention to, that I think that a lot of times we're lacking that. We're lacking these foundational things that other cultures have down pack already. They understand that this is just business. You know, they're not going to bring attitudes. They're going to always say, thank you. You're welcome. My pleasure. You know, these type of things, even if they don't like you, they're still going to they're going to like you enough to take your money. You know what right. I mean? And at the end of the day, we don't understand that. And that's a foundational knowledge that we have to find somewhere, or just start to change that narrative. You know what I mean? It starts with people like you doing that. You know what I mean? And being examples and being role models to other young, you know, minorities, Black, brown, so forth and so on, you know, to kind of give them that game. So that's really important that you guys are doing the workshops and stuff like you're doing, and talking about everything well-rounded. You know what I mean? You're not only talking about, you know, hey, you know, get your LLC and, you know, purchase this truck, but you're also talking about branding. You're also talking about customer service and all these different things that people just tend to not realize comes with the game, man. This is what's going to make your business survive and thrive. You talk about longevity, being around, legacy. That's what's going to do it. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's right. What's going to do it. Nothing else.
And only, Absolutely. This is a real fact, only 15% of people in the trucking industry make it their second year.
Mm.
15%. So there is a ton of money, but I mean, if you don't, you could be a trucker all day, you could drive the truck, but if you don't have that business mentality, you're going to get fucked.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, because it is. I mean, you have to know, like you said, you have to have overhead. If I wasn't, you know, doing real estate, and if he wasn't a longshoreman, we would have crashed. Because the first, like Tamara said, like Garen said, in the dump truck industry, a lot of people don't factor, you know, and over the road, you could factor and get your check, you know, in the next day.
Yeah, for sure.
With dump trucks, it's a little different. I mean, I'm sure companies do it, but a lot of them won't, because they know that with dump trucks, since these are, you're going through brokers or, you know, federal or state contracts, government contracts, you won't get paid in 60 to 90 days sometimes.
Wow.
So imagine you're paying your driver, let's say $1,000 a week, right? That has to come from somewhere, right?
Right.
So no matter what, we're in the dump game. I don't care if you don't get paid. Your drivers won't make that truck work. How you get the money.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We have to pay our drivers, let's say $1,000 a week for that 4 weeks from our own pocket, from other means of income.
Got you.
And that lump sum of check is not coming in. Sometimes, not all the time. Luckily, we got blessed with our contract where, you know, we're getting paid on time, but there are brokers where he had to call him.
I got to go up to their business and get my money. Sometimes you got to shake some collars. You got to ruffle up the office.
Yeah. You got to knock on some doors, huh?
Stick them on.
Yeah, I mean,
with a smile, right, Garen? With a smile.
Of course, with a smile. But
you that, say please and thank you, right, Garen? Yeah, right?
I go in there with a suit.
That is the beauty of dealing with the government contracting and stuff like that, Ben, because you get paid when you're dealing with the government.
But it's still sometimes 60 to 90 days.
Wow. 60 to 90, yeah, that's tough, man. That's really tough.
Imagine all that overhead. You got truck parking, you got insurance, you got registration, you got
I don't even want to imagine it. My head hurts already.
Basically, you're basically funding that project for 90 days. So
right.
You're funding
worst that case. Then there's right. the cases that we've learned. We know which brokers to go to, which contracts to pick up. So right. That's what I'm saying. The mistakes we've made, we want to teach, like, hey, like, don't go to him, like, do this. Do
yeah.
That.
No doubt. No doubt.
We're not right. just here, you know?
Right. Cool. So you guys were able to go from 1 to 4 trucks. How long did it take you?
We started in 2016, and this is 2019.
We on the all cash.
Damn, 3 years?
Yeah,
that's phenomenal, man. That's phenomenal. Wow.
And have you seen our trucks? I get mad.
Listen, I've seen y'all trucks. Y'all trucks are the real deal. Like, listen, listen, everybody listening, I'm gonna give you their social media so y'all can check them out or whatever. But listen, they have like brand new. Pristine. If they're not brand new, they look brand new to me. I mean, them things are clean. Like, they're the real deal. You know,
maybe so just look at the one with the inside, but it's like
I didn't get to the inside yet.
Oh, baby.
Y'all got club lights in the truck and all that.
He's a car dude. Let me tell you, he loves old schools. He owns 30 old schools, right?
Oh, so you make them fancy.
Yes.
I got over 30 vintage cars.
Oh, yeah. That's dope.
But this is my whole thing. Like, I'm this is another motto of mine. It's called spend the money.
Mm.
Like, the reason why I say spend the money is because if you don't spend the money, you're going to end up giving it to Uncle Sam either way it go.
There
so
you go.
Once you spend that money, you recycle that money back to your business and your family for fun and leisure.
Right.
But also, when you come pulling up clean, 9 times out of 10, those brokers look at you. Those contractors look at you.
Oh, they we want
because you're representing not just the industry, but you're representing for that company. So when they have that entitlement, it's a lot of entitlement that goes on in this. And I kind of think right now, me and a few other of my partners, we kind of got it unlocked as far as the styles and the cleanness for the actual jobs, man. That's how we get our jobs. That's how we get pinpointed. Like we're like a black sheep. We stand out.
There you go.
Whenever we'll just jump in the truck if we have to take it to the mechanic. And the feeling of seeing everybody going thumbs up.
Like,
it's dope. A great feeling. He takes pride. Like, sometimes he'll even bring the trucks and wash them himself. Like,
right.
You know, those are
y'all moving around dirt all day, man. And your car look cleaner than your truck look cleaner than my car. you know what I'm saying? That's crazy. So what else are you guys into, man? Because you guys all seem very entrepreneurial. So while I got you on here, let me pick your brain a little bit. We got the dump trucks. You got the real estate. What else is going on in y'all heads? What's some other investments? Talk to me.
Ladies first. Go ahead.
My personal business is I have a consulting firm. And that's where I educate small businesses on from foundational all the way up to winning their first contract. So that's everything from the structure in their business to setting up their back office support. That's a very key factor. You have to have an administrative team, even if you're small. You know, there's companies out there that you can, you know, pay for service as you go, but having an accountant or a CPA or having marketing person, so on and so forth, that's very important to the longevity of your business. So that's what I do on the side. Shanti and I are actually certified nail technicians, so uh-oh. We do nails.
Okay.
Let me just add to that.
Do I see like a nail shop in the future? It's coming.
Probably, but I'm gonna be honest with you.
I see you, Tamaris. I see you.
We're all on camera.
man, everybody's West nails is right.
Look, West Square.
Everybody's nails is right.
I'm gonna tell you something though.
I ain't showing y'all my nails. Nah,
uh-oh. Don't do it. Don't do it.
I want to add to that though. I originally went to nail school because I did want to open a salon like 5 years ago.
Okay.
And this man right here did all my projects. He's like, look. Jack, I wouldn't even know how to do a damn manicure. So.
You want an acrylic? You want coffin?
He did
everything. You want coffin, square, long, round, what you want?
Crystal gel? What's that? The crystal gel?
White. What do you want?
Oh, my gosh.
I asked him now, can you gel me up real quick?
Yo, that is crazy. That is crazy. All right. So we got the nail store opening up soon. We got to look out for that.
You can put a
nail salon in the back of one of those dump trucks, man. You already got it tricked.
Right?
Why not? What about you, Shanti? What else you got on your mind as far as other projects?
Okay, so aside from real estate, you know, our trucker right, the dump trucks, I want to say, what I do when it comes to our business, I actually, you know, he's the one that gets down and dirty, deals with the drivers, deals with, you know, the trucks. And I'm the one that actually does like the invoicing, accounting,
okay,
you know, mailing out the slips.
Administrative.
So that's where, yeah, exactly. So that's where it works out perfect for us because I couldn't imagine, you know, doing this business by myself. You know, you forget. I'm like, sure. I'm 30. How old am I? 33? I have this. We write post-it notes around the house because we have so much going on.
Right.
Forget.
Right.
That's why, you know, we make it easy on each other. Like he'll handle stuff that like he can get under the truck and do whatever you got to do. As long as I have, you know, make sure we're getting paid on time, let him know what's going on. That's what I do. And we just started a week ago. We're homeschooling now.
Ah, dope.
Our 5-year-old, which we decided that the school system is not like it used to be when we were growing up, you know, and, you know, social media has caused a lot of bullying, you know, shootings, depression, and we noticed that we want to teach our kid real life stuff, you know, what real life is like. For instance, instead of reading about Bora Bora, he's gonna go there, he's gonna taste the food, he's gonna see the culture, we're gonna show him, you know, he'll jump in the truck with G and learn about what's really going on. Add to your piece, because I know you say it's so good, your thoughts on homeschooling.
Well, like that, let's go back. Let's back up for 2 seconds. What I like to do.
All right. Uh-oh.
Well, I am into hot rods, low riders, bikes, boats, RTVs. But I like all outdoor sports, all, you know, crafts. So okay. I'm into everything. Anything that has a motor on it, that's all me.
Okay. Gotcha.
Now back to what she was saying, my wife, the reason why I'm so firm on our business being a brand is because we're actually paving the way for mothers or fathers to be at home or with their families instead of having to go work a 9-to-5. And I see a lot of people, like how we were raised. I was raised in a Los Angeles Unified School District, right? And by law, I mean, that's what we're supposed to do as a kid is go to school.
Right.
So what we are able to do now that we have the entrepreneurship and more freedom is actually raise our son doing homeschool. So it's a big difference from how I was raised. So basically everybody in the household is actually learning something different, you know? So that's why, like I said, that's why we're so stern on a brand, because we are actually giving people the opportunity to spend more time with their family. And, you know, it gives you that financial freedom. It gives you just freedom within the household itself. So now my son never has to see a public school ever again unless he chooses to.
Facts.
You know what I mean? So that's really more so what this thing is all about. And that's what I actually enjoy. I love being around my son. Like, he's the best. He's like he's my best friend. You know what I mean? Besides my wife, it's a marriage. But, you know, at the end of the day, that's what this is all about. So, yeah, that's what this is all about, is giving my son. I'm happy. Like, I'm super happy. That's another one of my hobbies, to see my son flourish in life. Mm-hmm. And we're actually giving him the opportunity to see what not just working for somebody looks like, but having somebody work for you. You know, you kind of want to change the narrative on that. You know what I mean? So that's what we're doing right now, and hey, it's a blessing.
So that's, I got to add,
that is one of my hobbies that I actually enjoy, is actually training and teaching my son.
Wow. That's so dope, man. And that's really important. Like, man, if out of everything we talked about, that may be the most important thing that, you know, jewel that was dropped here today. Because absolutely. I think especially now, man, in the school system, like you said, it's a lot of aimless education, you know, number one, to where we're teaching our kids, but there's no real direction, there's no directive. And in the world we live in today, if you're not skilled, if you don't have a trade, if you don't know something specific, you're going to have a lot of issues, man, because we're already moving to the world to where technology is taking over, right? And everything is automated. So if you're not an owner of some sort of technology or something like that, or you're not an owner and you know some kind of skill that could help people directly, you're going to be in trouble. You know, in the next, you know, few years, there's really going to be a disparity, a big disparity between the rich and the poor. And it's coming faster than probably we can even see, because, you know, there's a lot of people that are going to be lost because they're not taking advantage of learning skills and they're not getting into technology, and they're just going to be out there with nothing because all those jobs are going away. You know what I mean? So that mindset, man, that mindset is beautiful, man. And like he, your little man, he's going to come up, like he's going to be on point. Cause like you said, from the gate, he has a whole different mindset. He sees something different, you know?
It's called evolution. A lot of people, like when he first started playing with his iPad and all that stuff, everybody's talking about, oh, he needs to get a newspaper. But in reality, that's what the evolution is about right now, is technology and learning over, like, look at us. We don't need to meet in a setting. We can just do this straight over the computer. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? So, it's like, you know, if you don't evolve and if you don't accept the evolution, you're going to be kind of outdated. Like, I look at a lot of people that were locked up in the 1970s and they come out, they're still wearing wedges and bell bottoms and stuff.
Right.
There ain't nothing wrong with it, but that's just what it is. You don't want to look too crazy or seem too crazy. And that's what we kind of want to raise our child. We don't want him to be behind the game. We want him ahead of the game, if not just running a marathon.
Right. No, that's a fact. You got it. We got to adapt, man. That's it. Adaptation. You know what I mean? Evolution, adaptation. That's so important, man. Like it's been a great conversation. I don't want to keep you guys all night, cause I know you got to get ready for your trip in the morning. You know what I mean? I think this has been a show power packed with a lot of jewels. We touched on a lot of different things, all you guys. So what I want to do is I want to wrap it up. But before I wrap it up, as always, I want everybody to give, you know, their final thought. And I also want you to give your social media, where people can connect with you, where they can follow you, so forth and so on. Let's start with Tamaris down there.
Yes,
Tamaris,
sir.
Where you at? Talk to us.
I thank you so very much for doing what you're doing, and you're bringing an awareness to this industry. So I appreciate you for bringing us on tonight. I'm excited. I see this picking up quickly. You know, seeing more men and women, but specifically women, getting into this industry, more minorities being able to create generational wealth, like Garen spoke on earlier. And, you know, let's get this money that's sitting on the table. You know, I'm sitting in these meetings all the time with the city, and I'm like one of the few of, you know, brown skins in there. And I'm like, this don't make no sense. All this money sitting here and our people's not, they don't know about it. That's, you know, so let's pull it together. Let's each one teach one, each one reach one, and get this money.
There it is. Shanti.
So, you know, starting off, I was a little, you know, skeptical about this business. We've had plenty of talks, and I just want to say that I am so happy and I feel so blessed that we did decide to go the transportation route. I feel like I'm such a pro, but I'm not. You know, you learn something new every day. And the best feeling about this is going to sleep knowing that we don't have to worry about, you know, paying rent or a mortgage or a note. You know, this is financial freedom, knowing that we can go anywhere in the world and know that we'll be okay.
Nice.
So, and this is what we want to teach, especially to the single women, the moms. There's another way. And just, you know, stay consistent and keep going. And you got this. And let us teach you, truckitright.com. Follow me at Truck It Right and at Shanti Hoffman. Peace.
There you go. Garen, close us out, my brother.
Hey, man, I just want to say thank you for doing what you're doing, not just only with us, but with the whole community that's down to be a part of what you got, your movement that you got going on. This is a huge platform for us to state what we do and how we do it, where we do it, and also get the business and clientele and maybe partnerships in the long term, in the near future. Also, I want to say that this is pretty much the new world order as far as income for families. It's the closest thing that you're going to get as far as making money than getting a PhD. You know, all you got to do is sacrifice a month or 2 months out of your life to have a whole future of just pure bliss. You know what I mean? And that's what we hear. That's why I have my wife. That's why we got Tamaris. We are all here to help. You can reach me at Hoffman Transportation or my personal website. Well, my personal Instagram is Lord Jesus Christ.
I hate when he gives that.
Yeah.
He's fly, y'all. He's fly, y'all. Check him out. He's fly.
That's why I never tag him.
At Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, man. You're going to get the podcast shut down. That's it.
I got one last thought, if you don't mind.
Go for it.
I also, you know, we said that, you know, we're targeting moms and we're targeting minorities. We also want to push the thought out there, too, that this is a re-entry industry as well. So our mothers and our fathers, our men and women of color that are re-entering society from their government-funded vacation.
Yes.
This is the perfect industry for you to jump in and be an owner operator that is felony friendly. If you're the owner and operator, now it may be different if you're going after your CDL and you want to work for a company. But we push entrepreneurship. That's why we have the course. So that's just one last thought I want to put out there that, hey, if you have a felony and it's preventing you from getting back into the industry or getting into, you know, a workforce where you can make money to actually take care of your family, consider getting into dump truck, owning your own dump truck business, and definitely visit in truckitright.com and learn more about it. Also, don't forget about our workshop, October the 12th. 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Four Point Sheraton in Culver City, Los Angeles. And you can buy the tickets on Eventbrite or our website, truckitright.com.
There it is. Tamaris, thank you. Garen, Shanti, thank you. You guys were great. Appreciate you guys, you know,
spending
your time with us tonight. It was great, you know, and, you know, that's it, man. Truck and Hustle. We going to wrap it up like that.
Thank you.
Shout out to Truck and Hustle.
Thank you. And listen, we going to stay connected, man. I got a lot of plans for the future. You know, we're going to definitely keep chopping it up and keep building and keep this relationship going. Because ultimately, this is what this is really about is making connections. You know what I mean? Connecting people from, you know, all over the United States, all over the country, all over the world who are in this industry, like-minded people, you know, sharing information, so forth and so on, and seeing what this could turn into. So, you know, absolutely. I'm really excited to keep this thing going, man.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Y'all have a safe flight. You know, enjoy Bora Bora.
Yeah. I might
book my trip too since they show me on the gram. You know what I mean? I'm gonna check it out.
Right.
You know what I mean? All right, y'all. Y'all have a good night. All right, pleasure
meeting you. Bye.
Good night.
All right.
If you like what you heard, it's only gonna get better. Make sure you subscribe and leave us a comment. Let us know what you wanna learn or hear more about. Till next time, love is love, truck and hustle.